Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series Walking in Newness of Life Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org. Subject of this audio To be, to abide, to live, to walk and to bear fruit in Christ. Chapter 1 The essential condition of understanding that the newness of life offered by God is in Christ. At the beginning of the present series of approaches on the theme of walking in newness of life, we would like to emphasize that the subjects contained in this new series also comprise the set of various materials that were produced under the general concept or title denominated Systemic Teaching About Christian Life, which also contains the following series. 1. Suggestions for reading and studying the Bible. 2. The Gospel, the Good News of God. 3. The life of the Christian in the world. 4. New creation in Christ. And although previously we already have sought to show a very expressive set of considerations about the fundamental aspects for a person to experience, by grace and through faith in the Lord, the newness of life that God offers from heaven to human beings. It has seemed to us that there is still a need for further insistence or deepening on the matter that this novelty of life is offered by God to be lived or experienced in a practical way according to the aspects that are associated, in the Scriptures, with the expression in Christ. The invitation or call of God for people to be able to experience the newness of life according to the heavenly kingdom has, evidently, as support or guarantee what God did or provided for the benefit of all humanity through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. However, what we would like to emphasize and point out in this present series of subjects once again is that the novelty of life in Christ, offered by God to human beings, is based not only on acts of the past but also on a foundation that is alive in the present and that will be alive for all eternity. God calls people to eternal salvation by having as a reference, testimony, and support his work of righteousness accomplished by Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary for the benefit of all human beings. However, the newness of life called the life in Christ Jesus refers to the present and everlasting life that there is in the Lord. God sent his beloved and only begotten Son into the world to accomplish, through the work on the cross of Calvary, the perfect provision for the redemption of lost humanity, but he also did this so that everyone who believes in this offer of redemption, done once and forever, may receive continually and eternally the living and everlasting life that is in Christ. Although the work of Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary provided a way for the redemption of sinners from vile slavery to sin, the body of sin, and the law of condemnation exposed by the law of Moses, and also provided a way of reconciliation for human beings with God, the new life to be given to human beings by heavenly grace and through faith in God, to which the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, is in fact found in the risen and living forever Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ presented himself to the world as the way that makes it possible for people to come to the Heavenly Father for reconciliation with God and the life of the heavenly kingdom, but he also presented himself to the world as the very life which is granted together with salvation and by which a person can relate to the Heavenly Father. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Although the act of believing in the redemption that God has already provided in the past through Christ Jesus is an integral and indispensable part of the process of salvation of a person from slavery to sin and death so that one may receive eternal life or the novelty of life according to the new creature in the Lord, the very newness of life is basically not found in the past acts of the Lord, but in the very life of the eternally living Lord. That is, in Christ resurrected and eternally alive. The Lord Jesus Christ, at some point when he was walking in the flesh among human beings, admonished a group of them because they mistakenly thought that they could find eternal life in the Scriptures, showing them that this life is not in writings or past events, but in the author and source of life itself. That is, eternal life for human beings is found in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one designated by the Heavenly Father to share the newness of heavenly life with all those who believe in Him. John 5, 39-40. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. It is striking to note that people in the world may study about eternal life, read about the newness of life that God offers in Christ, or even be faced with clear and explicit narratives about where and how this life can be found, but still not turning to the source of life itself so that they may indeed receive from it that which is offered to them from heaven by the mercy, love, and grace of God. The Scriptures, the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, the offer and preaching of the gospel, the work of the Holy Spirit to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment are all granted, yes, by God and for the good of the human beings so that they can know and have access to the life that is according to the heavenly kingdom. However, it is still necessary for each person to be willing not only to have information about these facts or to believe in the existence of these facts. Every individual also needs to move forward to the point of actually opening the heart to receive the very life which by all the referred means is announced. A central aspect that has been firmly and repeatedly highlighted in the various materials of the systemic teaching about Christian life is the non-negotiable condition that the Christian life is only possible to be lived indeed together with the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ or, as mentioned above, it is only possible to be experienced in Christ. Dissociated from remaining in the Lord Jesus or from fellowship with Christ, there is no way to exist an authentic Christian life. Any life separated from what is called in Christ, but which intends to be regarded as Christian, is a distortion of what is, in fact, a real Christian life. It is only in Christ that it is possible for a person to experience the life of the new creature that is offered to him or her from God, a truth also remembered and exemplified in the text below. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ is an expression that denotes a very particular condition and, at the same time, exclusively applicable for those who indeed are in Christ. Through several affirmations, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in the flesh on earth, made it very explicit that he came, yes, to give or grant life to those who believe in him. However, the Lord Jesus also made it very clear that he himself is the very life offered by the Heavenly Father. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. John 6:57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Christ is the designated provider or giver of the heavenly newness of life that comes from God to those who believe in Him to receive this novelty of life, but Christ is not just the granter of life, He is the heavenly life itself offered by the Heavenly Father to all human beings. There is no way to dissociate the granting of the newness of heavenly life from the condition that this life is in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And when we look at the aspect of the newness of life that is in the condition that is called in Christ, we understand that it is also worth remembering once again that in the descriptions of the Scriptures there is more than one kind of life mentioned in them. The first type of life described in the scriptures is the most commonly known in humankind and is also called the natural life. However, this is not the primary aspect to which the expression in Christ refers, although the experience of the condition called in Christ can also represent countless benefits to the natural life of those who come to live and walk in the Lord. Natural life, also called life in the physical body or earthly life, surely is also fully supported by the Lord Jesus Christ, as the texts below of Hebrews and Psalms teach us. And if the Lord Jesus determines that this natural life ends, it ceases instantly and the human being, in the concept of material or bodily life, returns to dust in a few moments. Hebrews 1, 1-4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Psalms 146, 3-6. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, in that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. No person lives his or her life in the natural body absent from God, even though one does not recognize God as the source of his or her life. Nevertheless, when the scriptures speak of life in Christ, they are not making a limited reference to the kind of natural life in the body of flesh and blood, for the Lord Jesus Christ declared that he is the life of the one who believes in him even if the one who believes in him dies naturally. Thus, there may be people on earth who live only the first type of life and who have not yet experienced the second type of life in the Lord, as well as there may be people who, although still in the natural body, have already also received the second type of life. And it is this second kind of life that prevails for eternity. According to the scriptures, people who only have the life of earthly nature, being thus apart from the life so called in Christ, are even considered by the Lord as being dead to the second type of life that God wants to grant them, and they are, therefore, in need to be made alive with the novelty that can only be found in the Lord Jesus. Let us look at the following text as an example of this condition of death in which a person may find oneself despite still having a natural life. Ephesians 2, 1-3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Before God, a person who is separated from fellowship with the Lord and who, therefore, lives one's life only according to natural inclinations, or the will and thoughts of worldly life, is a person considered dead in relation to the type of life that God wants all people to receive as his eternal and heavenly gift. The second type of life that God desires and offers for every human being is a life where a person can live inclined to the instruction and direction of life according to the will of God, but also, or mainly, in which a person can have the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart and can be strengthened by the condition of remaining in Christ. This second type of life offered from heaven by God has its beginning through a new birth that occurs when a person believes in the Lord Jesus as the Christ coming from God and when one receives Christ in the heart as one's Lord, but which is granted to be experienced, by people, in Christ. A broader description on how the process of the new birth takes place is approached in more detail in the New Creation in Christ series. Unlike natural life, the second type of life is the one with the condition of being eternal, for it is not limited to material and physical life. It is a type of life that is established on a spiritual condition of relationship and everlasting union with God. John 3, 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. A person may be alive and very healthy physically, but if one does not have eternal life, which is the living relationship with God in the so-called in Christ condition, one is still dead for the second kind of life. Although the Lord Jesus Christ sustains people's lives in both natural and spiritual conditions, it is only those who believe in Him and receive Him as Lord who can enter the second type of life that God offers in Christ. Therefore, there is a kind of life that is granted exclusively to people who exercise faith in Christ Jesus so that in Him they too may experience the new life offered from heaven by the Father of lights. John 3, 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 5, 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. John 6, 47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. 1 John 5, 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Because so many people in the world lack the understanding that the newness of life offered by the Heavenly Father is in the condition so-called in Christ, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, teaches us that the message that matters to be preached in the world for those who still do not know the Lord, as well as those who already know Him, is the message that the true and eternal heavenly life can only be found in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 22-24. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Any living creature receives from God life for its natural condition, but what the gospel of God came to announce to us is that there is more life of God than the mere life that is known in the life of the flesh or life according to the natural human. This differential of life, however, is only found in what the scriptures name as in Christ Jesus, which is why it is so vital to be aware of this truth. 1 Timothy 1, 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant, with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Throughout the earth, there are continually natural life activities being manifested. However, the gospel of God declares to us, on the part of the Lord, that there is still a kind of life more sublime and exalted, and that surpasses all life that exists or that is manifested in the natural or material level. The earthly life, however broad and splendorous it may come to be, has not been granted to human beings so that they may be fully satisfied with it. Earthly life is not enough to supply the deepest longings of human hearts, nor is it enough to meet the demands of eternal life. The person who wants to reach the fullness of life in earthly or natural conditions will face, sooner or later, a profound delusion, frustration, and sadness. And if God Himself did not conceive the fullness of life for human beings in earthly things, human beings should not try to find it only in the things of the earth and the flesh, for this is an attempt that will never achieve success. Only the life that is found in the place called in Christ can fill the existential void of a human being, for the Lord created people to find, first and above all, the fullness of life in Him, and not primarily in things created. The expression in Christ speaks of the most singular, distinctive, and sublime place that a human being can enter and be. The place called in Christ is not a physical place, a physical space, a temple made by human hands, it is the place where all the newness of life that the limited worldly life cannot provide is found. In Christ denotes a place whose access is offered to all, but which can only be accessed by those who believe in Christ Jesus as the eternal Lord of their lives. In Christ is a place that needs to be believed and received willingly, it is a place where life is given only to those who also want the life of Christ. In Christ is a place whose access is granted to the righteous, that is, those who are not justified by their works but by heavenly grace and faith in the work of the righteousness of Christ provided on the cross of Calvary. In Christ is the place of the unfathomable and inexhaustible riches of God. In Christ is the place of heavenly life, even for those who still live on earth. In Christ is the place where the will of God is known. It is the place where there is guidance in how to exercise the will of God and in which there is grace that operates the ability and the power to accomplish the will of God. So, because of the essentiality or centrality that this so-called in Christ condition represents for every human being or for every person who wants to receive the life of God for which one was created, we understand that it becomes so relevant a deepening and increasing growth in the knowledge and experience of this gift that God extends to all who want to experience it according to the life of faith in the Lord. Knowing that God, through His gospel, offers newness of life is a big step toward receiving this life. However, without advancing in the matter of receiving it and indeed experiencing it in Christ, a person may be limited to merely informative knowledge that does not lead him or her to enter the purpose or reason why the novelty of life is offered to him or her by the Heavenly Father. There is much to be explored continuously and increasingly regarding this so-called in Christ condition. Therefore, despite that we have already seen several aspects of it in the subjects mentioned in the introduction to this chapter, it seems to us that it is necessary to go even further to identify more clearly that there are several angles on how a person can experience the condition in Christ, as well as to highlight some themes that have not yet been addressed more extensively in the series already mentioned, such as the theme or aspect of walking in Christ Jesus or walking in newness of life.